Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. All right. We want to start a series of studies about understanding God's will for your life. Understanding God's will. One of the things that we find out as we come into Christianity and as we begin to discover God's goodness and His promises is that a lot of what we were trying to do on our own, God is able to do better than we could do. All right? For instance, many people who don't know the Lord, they want to have a successful marriage, right? They want to have godly relationships, good relationships, healthy relationships. Well, we come into the kingdom of God and we see that God is better at doing that than we are. Many people are striving to have their needs met and to do well in business. We come into the kingdom of God and God says, you know what, I invented it. I have the wisdom that you need. I have the favor that you need. And so a lot of what we want out of life, we discover that God is able to give us and to help us and to assist us. And so if we're not careful, then we kind of just come to God as if, God, you're going to just help sort out my life. And make no mistakes about it, He does sort out your life. And He knows what you need. But I believe there's a place of maturity that as we relate to God, it's not just about what we need, but it's, Father, what do you want? What do you need? How can I serve you? Not just God, how can you help me in my life? So understanding what God's will is for our life. And really we want to look at some general areas, because if we don't understand general things from God's Word, we'll never get the specifics right. And I think there are a lot of people praying about certain situations that if they would understand what the general will of God is, they wouldn't have to pray about it. For instance, if you're a young person, if you're single and you're courting someone, you're thinking about marrying them, and you say, oh God, show me your way. God, and that's a good thing, amen? God, show me if this person is the right person. And yet they don't love God. They don't know God. You have no business praying about that. Just stop praying, say amen, and read the Bible. And as we understand the general counsel of God, it helps us in all of our specific areas. Proverbs says this, that the integrity of the upright will guide them. So integrity will show you the right thing to do. Oh, Father, show me this month if I should, you know, pay NAPSA for my workers. Oh, God, I'm seeking you. No, don't pray about it. Just let integrity guide you. Do the right thing. So we want to look at some areas of our life that God has some wonderful, He has some will and some, He has an agenda for our life. Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. The Message Bible puts it this way, don't live carelessly. Unthinkingly, make sure you understand what the Master wants. What does the Master want? We know what we want, but what does the Master want? When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He was facing the cross and His purpose for existence that He came to the earth for, He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. God's will, God's plans for our life. And we want to look at, again, some different aspects. And I know in the last few months, probably the last 6 months, I've really been thinking and praying a lot about this for my own life. God, what do you really, really want for me? Father, what do you want for this church? Father, we can go through the motions, we can do the right things, we can sing and preach and help people. But Father, this is your church, it belongs to you. What is your plan? What is your purpose? What is your will? And so I want to encourage you to join me in this quest, in this journey, to discover some things about what God wants for you. And as we discover those things individually, I believe we'll discover more of those things corporately as a body. Amen. That the best and the most memorable and the most fruitful days of miracle life are ahead of us. And we're going to be walking into those things. Now, one of the greatest things that God wants for your life, His will for your life, is for you to have a relationship with Him. We were created for God's pleasure. We were created to relate to Him. Now, we were created, the Bible says that God created us in His own image. And so people say, well, what does God look like? Well, the fact of the matter is He looks a lot like you. If we're created in His image, then you must look a lot like God. He doesn't look like a zebra. He doesn't look like a giraffe or a rhino or a porcupine. He looks like you. Why? Because we're created in His image. Now, I believe there are a number of reasons why God created us in His image. He wants to partner with us on the earth. He wants us to represent Him. And so we're going to be in His image because we're going to do things along the lines that He does. All right? Now, but I believe one of the reasons why He created us in His image was so that we could relate to Him. So that we could have a relationship. Do you remember in Genesis that when God formed Adam from the dust of the earth, and the Bible says He breathed into him and Adam became a living soul, God brought all the animals to Adam for him to name. And there were two cows and two chickens and there were two dogs and two cats. And as they were coming, He realized every animal has someone to relate to, but I'm alone. Amen. And I heard someone say that I think God helped Adam to realize that he had a need. Because if he would have just made Eve in the first place, Adam would have said, I don't need a woman in my life. Men can be hard-headed, right? So God allowed Adam to see his need. And so the Bible says that God took a part of Adam and made Eve. And the Hebrew word helpmeet means face-to-face. Someone to relate to. And in the same way, God made us like Him so that we could relate to Him and He could relate to us. Jesus didn't die for trees. Jesus didn't die for animals. Jesus died for people. He came for people because we are the reason God created the earth. It was to sustain human life. And we see in the garden, after man had fallen, that God, He said, He came in the cool of the day, all right? At the end of the day, at sunset. Now, typically at sunset, you're finished your work. You're done what you're doing and you're beginning to relax. Maybe you're getting ready for the evening meal, all right? And so God had already given Adam a job. He said, subdue the earth. Till it. And so hopefully, I believe that day, Adam was busy working. He was obeying God. And he had finished his work, and so God had come to talk to him and to relate to him. Amen? One of the things, if there's somebody that you love very much, you like to just sit down and talk to them. Amen? And now if you're married, you need to find the right time that both of you like to talk. Amen? I know the other day I woke up early in the morning and I was so excited about something. I said, Haley, let's talk. She likes to talk after coffee. All right. I was talking before coffee, BC. All right. Sometimes she likes to talk late at night. And now that I'm older, I just like to sleep at night. All right. So Adam was relating to God. But because of sin, when God came down to just hang out and to talk and to relate to man, what was man doing because of sin? Hiding from the God who was coming to them. What was God's response? Adam, where are you? Adam, this is not like you. You don't hide. Where have you gone, Adam? Now, let's ask ourselves the question. Did God know where Adam was? He did. But what was he doing? He was calling out for a relationship. He was calling out, Adam, I want to be with you. Yeah, I saw what you did, but come to me. Adam, where are you? And I believe that call of God still goes out for the 7 billion people of the earth today. Where are you? Where have you gone? And as Adam and Eve came out from wherever they were hiding with their fig leaves, God said, no, 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 that's not acceptable. I will clothe you. I will cover you. I'll cover your sins so that we can relate to each other. And God has done that for us. And at the very basic level, God wants to have a relation. He called out. He made provision for their sin. And today He still calls and chooses people. 1 Peter 2:9 from the New Living Translation, it says, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you. He called you. He called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. What is His marvelous light? It's where He is. All right? This is what God desires. His will for our life is to relate to Him, to have a relationship, to be connected. And that's why we say at Miracle Life that we exist to connect people with the love of God. To get people closer to who He really is. Now, sin had done its damage, but God called out. And then throughout history, God's people would call out to Him. God's people, and I believe He wired us to be this way. He wired us to look for Him and to desire Him and to want a relationship with Him. And mankind tries all kinds of horrible substitutes. And yet, God never stops looking for us. Moses, when he was having an encounter with God on Mount Sinai, and God was giving him the law. And so, it was this incredible supernatural experience. But in Exodus 33:13, Moses said, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you. And that I might find grace in your sight and consider that this people is your people. So what did he ask of God? He said, God, I want to know you. Now he's having this incredible supernatural experience. And he says, I want to see your glory. Now the glory of God is simply God manifested. God in His accuracy and what He is really like. But it's when He shows up. All right. And so the Bible says that His glory is manifested through us. His glory is manifested in the skies, in creation. It shows who He really looks like. And so Moses said, I want to see your glory. And because it was before Jesus had come and before we were born again, God said, look, you can't handle the whole thing. So I'm just going to show you a part of me. And His goodness passed before Moses. All right. And so God showed him what he was like. David in Psalm 27 verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say one thing. Now, if somebody was going to ask you, what is the one thing that you desire of the Lord? Some of you are thinking, praise the Lord, a Hummer. One thing. Oh, praise the Lord. I got to get out of this little house. I've got to get a place where we can spread out and raise our kids. And one thing. Oh, I just need to be out from under this debt. One thing. What was David's one thing that he desired? Now, thank God there isn't just one thing. There's lots of things. But this was David's one thing. He said, one thing I've desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Now, why did David want to be in God's house in the temple? Because that's where God lived. All right. Now, you understand God doesn't live at Miracle Life, right? When all of us leave today, God leaves the building. Amen. That's why when we come to church, we don't invite God here. Because when you came, He came. Amen? When we lift up the name of Jesus, He is here in our midst. And we believe that and we trust that. All right? But David said, I want to be where you are, God. I want to have a relationship with you. Elsewhere, David said, I'd rather just be a doorman. I'd rather just kind of stand at the door of God's house because I want to be where he is. I want to hang out with him. This is my one desire. So Moses said that. David said that. Paul said it this way in Philippians 3. Philippians 3, he said, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. That I may know him. Now, wait a second, Paul, don't you know him already? You've done some amazing things. I mean, you've written part of the Bible. God has used you in marvelous, marvelous ways. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Do you hear Paul's heart? Do you hear David's heart? Now, turn with me. I want you to see a couple of passages where God has this same desire for you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know who he really is. Now, what happens in life sometimes is that we want and we sometimes accept that someone else knows God on our behalf. All right? You know, that if I can just get to this person, or if I can get to this place, or if that special person can pray for me because they really know God. They really know him. Well, friend, guess what? As much as they may know him, they don't have any relationship with God that you don't have access to. The Bible says, for we all have access to the Father through the blood of Jesus. Amen. I don't have a special pastor door to God. And you don't need me to get to God. Now, I believe the Bible says you need me for other things, but it is not to get to God. Amen. Somebody at Rhema asked me the other day, and they were talking about people who, you know, about spiritual fathers, and they're people that would teach you to say, you know, I come to the Father of Pastor Walker in Jesus' name. That's silly. There are other words that come to mind, but I won't mention them, all right? God wants you to have a relationship with him. And that's why Hebrews says, now in our day and age, in the day that we live in, there is one mediator between God and you, the man, Christ Jesus. And we all are into that same baptism, into that same cross. Amen? So, he prays for us. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul to pray these prayers for the church of Ephesus. And this works for the church in Roma, the church in Lusaka, the church that meets at Miracle Life. Ephesians 1:17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Over in Ephesians 3, I want to read you another part of another prayer that the Holy Spirit inspired for us to walk in. Ephesians 3:18, that we would be able to comprehend, that's to understand, with all the saints, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, that you may be filled. You may be filled. Not just the man of God, the hour and the power, but that you would be filled with the power of God. Joel, when he prophesied about our day, he said, in that day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Tell your neighbor, you look like flesh to me. That means I qualify. That means you qualify because we're all flesh. And so God wants us to know Him for ourself. Amen? And that word, or in Ephesians 3, there's two places where God says, I want you to know my love. The first one is He says, I want you to comprehend. I want you to understand. All right? It's more of a knowledge base that maybe you read a book, you hear a testimony, you understand certain aspects, and so there is a mental knowledge of knowing what it's like. But the second time, in the next verse, it says that you would know the love of Christ. That is a knowledge that only comes through experience. A knowledge that only comes through experience. Now, how many of you know that Vic Falls is one of the wonders of the world? And it's a magnificent place. How many of you know that? Do you know that? You've seen it on TV. You've heard it, right? How many? Now, please be honest with me. I need you to. Church is a good place to be honest, all right? But how many of you have never, with your physical eyes, seen Victoria Falls? Lift up your hand. All right, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Boom. All right, lots of you. All right? Now, tomorrow is a holiday. Get on a bus. Get on a bus. Go see it. Let the spray make you soft and wet. Get on the bus and come home. All right? For real. Okay? But see, you know about Victoria Falls. All right? But I've had Victoria Falls drench me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Multiple times, usually once a year. All right? I love it. I love it, love it, love it. All right? But I have a knowledge that you don't have. And if we're talking about it and you say, oh yeah, I know, Pastor, what I'm going to tell you is no, you don't know. And what I'm believing that God is saying here is that thank God for David's testimony. Thank God for Paul's testimony. Thank God for the guy on TV that has a testimony, and your auntie and your cousin. But I believe what God is saying is, I want you to have your own testimony. I want you to know me because you've experienced me. Amen? Now, we prayed for the sick today. I believe in physical healing, because it is in the Bible. Amen? It is clearly shown as a fact. But you know the other reason I believe it? Is because I've been healed too many times for you to talk me out of it. And if you were to tell me, well, I believe that healing passed away with the apostles. Well, somebody forgot to tell my knee that. Amen? Because it got healed by a power that lasted past the apostles. Amen. Tell your neighbor, get your own testimony. God wants you to experience Him. David, see, he kind of knew this. And so he said in Psalms, he said, taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I've got a new hobby. It's watching cooking shows with my daughter. I mean, these people, they cook and it's awesome and everything. But now Jessica and I are like, Jessica, tape this one because we are going to do it. I don't want to watch that. That is too awesome to watch. We were watching the other day about a triple threat burrito. Steak, chicken, and prawns, marinated, guacamole. And I just told her, I said, I can't watch that. I'm going to eat that. In my mouth, in my belly, I will experience that. Thank God for the TV show, but I can't eat the TV show. Taste and see that the Lord is good. John put it this way, 1 John 4:16. John, 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Many, many years ago, there's a a catechism. There were times where the church would get together to make some statements and to summarize some things. And there was the Westminster Catechism said that the chief end of man is as to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Great Christian author, Pastor John Piper, put it this way. That we are to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. To glorify God, show what God is like, by how? By enjoying Him, experiencing Him, receiving of His goodness and His love. Now, how do we do this? How do we practically apply this into our life today? All right, can I give you just a few thoughts? Number one, let God be good to you. Let God be good to you. And I know that people have twisted some things in the Bible, maybe for covetous reasons or for selfish reasons. But you know, the Bible shows a very generous God who loves you. Amen? And when you go to a buffet and it's paid for, and there are meats and vegetables, and someone says, get whatever you want, and you get 5 pieces of rice and 2 kapenta, and you just say, well, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I just don't want to be selfish. No, don't be selfish. There's more where that came from. Get it all. Get it all. Let God be good to you. Receive of His provision. Psalm 145 verse 16 talking about God, it says, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all of His ways, gracious in all of His works. The Message Bible puts it this way. He is generous to a fault. You lavish your favor on all your creatures. Everything God does is right. The trademark on all of His works is love. Amen. Let Him lavish you. Secondly, we know and we can receive from God through His Word. Through His Word. Amen. Have you discovered that the Bible does not jump off the shelf and read itself for you? That we have to go and say, God, you know what? I want to learn. Jesus, I want to see you today. I want to experience you. This is you speaking to me. All right? And take time to do that. Thirdly, we experience God through prayer. Through prayer. All right? And you say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Well, the fact that you just talked to me shows me you know how to pray. Prayer is talking to God. Amen. And if you came and talked to me, I would prefer if you talked to me, when you came and talked to me, you wouldn't say, oh, Pastor Walker, Pastor Walker, Pastor, oh, great Pastor Walker. Oh, I love you, Pastor Walker. I would prefer that we just talk like this because both of my ears work and I can hear you and we're talking to each other. Just be real. Just talk to me. Amen. Now, look, I know it happens all over the world and it really happens in all different kinds of religions. But I heard someone say this, mankind is irreversibly religious. But please don't be religious with God. He can handle you talking to Him. And if you get excited and shout, then shout. Amen. If you cry, cry. But don't cry because you think He wants you to cry. Or shout because somebody else shouted and you thought, man, that is an impressive prayer. I like that. The Bible says that the Pharisees, they thought that they were being heard by their many words. There's only one word that God needs to hear when you pray. Jesus. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Father, I just come to you today in the name of Jesus because of what He has done and His blood is applied to my life. Because I'm born again, I have access to you. You love me and I love you, and I just want to talk to you about this stuff. Here's what I'm thinking, God. Amen. It can be a short prayer, a long prayer. Amen. Pray till you need to stop praying. Amen? But take time to know God through prayer. And then also, lastly, know God through the love of others. One of the greatest ways that God wants to love you is through people. Well, I just want an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Well, do you know where the Holy Spirit lives? He doesn't live in Tulsa or Lagos or Johannesburg. He lives in you. So when I hang out with you, the Holy Spirit is working. And there are times where I need God to love me through people. Amen? So be around God's people and you can have a relationship with Him. Now, God wants to know you, the real you. When Adam knew that he had sinned, he kind of put on a fakeness, a falseness. He put on these figures. Let me make myself acceptable before God. But see, God has made you acceptable through Jesus Christ. He's changed you. You're a brand new person. So you can come to God just you. And if someone else uses longer words when they pray, well, I guess they know longer words. But you can use short words. You can say, well, God, I don't know all those scriptures, but I'm sure you know a few. Amen? He wants to know you. You can come out of hiding. You can let God see you for who you really are. He has already made a plan for all of your failures. And He has already devised a new plan for all of your life. And so God can handle who you are. Psalm 51 verse 6, David said, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom." New Living Translation says this, "You desire honesty from the heart." Be honest with God. Let Him know you as much as you are going to know Him. Let's take God up on His offer. John 17, Jesus was praying. He was speaking to disciples and then He was praying for His disciples. And this is us because He said, "I pray for those that are here and those who will believe on me." So this is a prayer that Jesus prayed for you. "Father, I want these to whom you've given me to be with me, so that they can see my glory. You gave me the glory because you loved me even before the world began." What was Jesus' prayer for you? He said, "I want you and you and you and you. I want you to be with me and I want you to see my glory. I want you to see me for who I really am." He wants this for your life. He wants this for every day of your life. And friend, you know what heaven is? Heaven is the complete answer to Jesus' prayer. Remember Jesus said, and His disciples were so worried about Jesus leaving. And He said, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be with me also." You know what makes heaven heaven? It's not the gold. It's not the pearls. It's not your grandmother. It'll be nice to see Granny. But you know what makes heaven heaven? Is that we get to be with Jesus forever in complete openness. The God that we've worshipped, not seeing Him, the Bible says, then face to face. Amen. And so you and I can experience a taste of heaven on the earth, to know Him and to know Him and to know Him and to know Him. And when we take our last breath on this earth, we're going to say, "This is going to be fun, because I'm about to really know you after I close my eyes." Amen. This is God's desire for you. This is His will for your life. What glorifies Him is to let Him have what He wants. Some of you may have heard this hymn growing up. "Lord, have thine own way. Have thine own way. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and shape me after thine own. Have thine own way, Lord." What is part of His way? Is for you to know Him, really know Him. Not through a church. God wants you connected to a church, a healthy church where Jesus is. But God doesn't live here. This isn't where we say prayers. We say prayers on the way home. We say prayers tonight. We connect with Jesus every day of our life. And He wants to be involved in every part of your life for Him to be known. Amen. Would you be interested, and I hope you are, and I want to lead you later in praying these prayers for our own life. The prayers that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. I believe God would have us to pray for our own life. God, I'm asking, help me to know You. Open my eyes to who You are. And boy, will He ever. And I believe He will. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Would you bow your heads? I want to pray that prayer with you. I want to pray that prayer for me. And I want you to join me. But before we do, I'd like to see if maybe there's another prayer that we need to pray. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor? I realize, and I've kind of known, that God wants to have a relationship with me. You see, that's all of the stuff we've been talking about, Easter and His death and His resurrection. All of that was to let you and allow you to know Him, to have a way opened to Him. And today, it is possible. And there's a lot of reasons why sometimes people don't have a relationship with God. Sometimes people feel, well, why would God want to know me? I've done a lot of wrong things. I know that He might not be interested in me. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus died for you. He wants you. Not just everybody else, but He loves you. Yes, He's seen all of the good, He's seen all the bad, but He still loves you. And so He's made a way for you to come to Him. Sometimes people say, well, Pat, you know, I don't really need God in my life. Things are working out okay. I'd submit to you that they can be so much better. And if you die here without Jesus, things will not be okay when you die. Because there's only one way to the Father, and it's not through your good works, it's not through your efforts, it's not through your church attendance, but it's through Jesus Christ. And you can pray a prayer today, and basically saying, God, I'm saying yes. You want me as your friend, and I'm going to accept that today. I'm going to receive Jesus Christ. And if you've never done that, you can right now. Or maybe you're like the prodigal son in Luke 15 that he knew his father, but he ran away. And his life became so mixed up and messed up and broken. But one day the Bible says he came to himself and he remembered his father's house. And he said, I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to let him love me. And friend, maybe you're a far way off from God. And maybe you remember a time where you knew God, but your life is mixed up and it's broken. Today, you can come home. He's waiting for you. He'll receive you. You can do that today. And if you say, Pastor, I want that. I want a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I've never really done that. Or I need to make sure that it's okay because I've just been walking away from Him. I want to pray with you. I want to shake your hand. I want to look you in the eye and say, you know what? We're going to find Jesus together today. Friend, if that is you and you say, Pastor, I want to pray that prayer. I want to know Jesus Christ. Wherever you are right now, lift up your hand. Lift it up real, real high so everyone could see it. God wants to see it. I want to be able to pray with you. Where are you? God bless you. All the way in the back? Yes. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that's me. I want to know. Yes, sir. God bless you. Who else? Who else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. All right. Friends, can we all stand to our feet, everyone in the congregation? If you lifted up your hand, I would ask you right now, just come to the front right now. just come to the front. I want to be able to pray with you. I want to see this relationship with God get started in your life today. Can we give them a big hand as they're coming? Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that was me. I want this relationship. I know God wants this, but I'm going to say yes to Him. God bless you, sir. All right. Just go ahead and lift up one of your hands towards God right now and just close your eyes. Say this with me. Say, Father, I believe Jesus is your Son. He died for me. He took my sin. And He was punished in my place. And You raised Him from the dead so I could know You. Jesus, come into my life. Be my friend. And I thank You now that I leave my sin. I turn away from it. And I turn to You. I turn to Your path. And I'll live with You forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, I tell you, wonderful things have happened today. We want to take a couple minutes of your time, if you would allow us. We want to put a book in your hand. And there's some people that would like to just connect with you individually, if you would allow us to do that. If you would just turn and follow Davies here, we're going to go to a place of prayer just for a few minutes, then you'll be right back. But if you would just follow us, we'd so appreciate it. Thank you. Amen. If you came with your Bible, just bring it out. Just take it out right now and turn to Ephesians. And really, I would invite you, this is a prayer that you can pray every day of your life. But I would hope that you would just insert your name instead of the church at Ephesus. Say, Father, this is my heart. This is my desire. In Ephesians chapter 1, and You can repeat this prayer after me, but just mean it from your heart and asking for what God is asking for us. Just say this with me. Say, Father, I pray that You would give to me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I would know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Father, that I would know the exceeding greatness of Your power towards me. Amen. Turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And this is in verse 16. Say, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that out of the riches of Your glory, that I would be strengthened with all might through Your Spirit in the inner man, that Jesus would dwell in my heart through faith, that I be rooted and grounded in love, would be able to understand with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, that I would know the love of Jesus, which passes knowledge, that I would be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Now, I believe you meant that. But here's what God is going to do. He's going to make sure that this happens in your life. Keep asking these things. Father, I want to know You. God, open up my eyes. Lord, help me see clearly who You are. And you know what it'll be? It'll be one song on the radio. It'll be somebody sending you a text. It'll be a sermon. It'll be a book. It'll be something where the Holy Spirit works. And you'll say, I had no idea. Wow, God, I know You a little bit more now. And friend, this is a prayer you can pray the rest of your life. the person that trained me in ministry, Kenneth E. Hagin, who's in heaven, every time he would begin to preach, he'd say, "Father, we know so little." And at 78, I thought he knew a lot, but he thought he knew a little. Let's keep praying that we would know him. Not about him, not what somebody else said about him, but that, "Father, I would know you." And oh, what that happens in our life when we know him. The Bible says those that know him will be strong and they will do exploits. And you'll see amazing things begin to have a ripple effect in your life. Father, you've heard our hearts. And Lord, I believe you heard these prayers. And Father, we fully expect you to do what we just asked you to do. Open our eyes. Help us to see what we don't see. Lord, that we may know you and experience you for ourselves. That we would know how great your love is. Father, that we may know that love, experience that love, and share that love with a world, Father, that simply does not know. Lord, we love you today and we bless you. Lord, thank you that this prayer is being answered as we leave this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you so much. We love you. Have a great day.